Thomas Hanna of the Democracy Collaborative is working to carry out a vision of a new economic system where shared ownership and control creates more equitable and inclusive outcomes, fosters ecological sustainability, and promotes flourishing democratic and community life. Here's the Old Mole's Lori Mercier to talk with him. Lori.
Thanks, Clayton. And as you heard, I'm speaking with Thomas Hanna, who is Research Director at the Democracy Collaborative in Washington, D.C. He has written widely about public ownership, privatization, democratic forms of ownership and control, and public banking in many forums, including In These Times and The Nation. And he has a new book just out, Our Common Wealth: The Return of Public Ownership in the United States. Welcome to KABU, Thomas Hanna.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
Your book, Our Commonwealth, demonstrates the critical need for alternatives to our economic system, and it also explores what these alternatives might look like with more public ownership. Let's talk about one sector of the economy, banking, since we're at the 10-year anniversary of the 2008 financial meltdown and the massive public bailout of banks, too big to fail. As you write, we're due for another financial crisis. So how can the left prepare for the next meltdown?
Yeah, exactly. So as you said, we're about 10 years on from the last financial crisis, and we know that in the neoliberal period that financial crises happen about every 10 years. And nothing has fundamentally changed in the structure of the financial system in the past 10 years. If anything, it's gotten worse. The banks are more consolidated. You know, they were too big to fail in 2007, 2008. They're even bigger today. The Dodd-Frank legislation that was put in place after the financial crisis last time was relatively weak legislation, and it's only been weakened over the past 10 years through concerted bank lobbying and efforts. So when the next financial crisis comes, we're going to be presented with a choice. It's going to be do the same thing as last time and just bail out the banks, or something different. And what I'm proposing is that something different is public ownership and potentially long-term public ownership.
So you say that we can start seriously preparing an alternative response right now. What would be some steps that we could take to help encourage public ownership? Because as you point out, the public bailout of banks was not popular, that a vast majority of Americans believe that this should not happen, that we should not be bailing out big banks. So it seems like the time is ripe for presenting some kind of alternative. And what would that look like?
Yeah, exactly. So when the last financial crisis happened, I think we can all pretty well say that we were not prepared for a financial crisis. And I think there was a pervading optimism in the country that we weren't going to have any more financial crises, that these things had moderated. And that's always a pretty terrible view. You know, financial crises are as common as dirt in world history. So what we need to be doing now is, on the left especially, is really preparing for that and preparing for what the alternative might be to bailouts. Because absent an alternative, it's just going to be the same old thing. It's just going to be bailing out the banks. So what we can be doing is we can be mobilizing support for potentially introducing legislation or something that can be put in place now, and the groundwork and the legwork and all the research could be done now on that. And even if it never gets out of committee, you know, even if it's never voted on now, when the financial crisis happens, it can be dusted off the shelf and introduced as an amendment or something like that. You know, when the last financial crisis happened, I think around 33 senators voted to break up the big banks as part of an amendment to the Dodd-Frank legislation. I mean, that's unprecedented that they would vote to break up the big banks. So next time, we could potentially have that amendment or that legislation ready, and we could ask for public ownership. So essentially what we're saying is that when we give the banks money, because we're going to give them money again no matter what, when we give them money, instead of just giving it to them with no conditions attached, we would like to have voting rights. We would like to have equity stakes in those banks. We did quasi-nationalizations last time. We did some bailouts, but we also did some quasi-nationalizations. But it was totally messy. It was not transparent. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes dealing. All of the worst accusations about government involvement in markets were proven true, because the government was absolutely committed to not calling these nationalizations and doing everything possible to not take public ownership seriously in that case.
And despite the public bailout, the public got nothing in return, right? I mean, no ownership of that capital or control over its direction or any kind of vote on the direction, future direction of financial institutions.
Yeah, exactly. Public ownership It gives us control. It gives us freedom of choice. We can, in the future, if we decide to take banks into public ownership, we can run them to support smaller community banks, kind of like the Bank of North Dakota does, which is one of our only public banks in the United States. It's 100 years old. Perhaps we could break them up. It's kind of a requisite to breaking them up. You have to take control of them first. When they're coming to us asking for money because they're about to collapse, then is not the time to break them up. You can't break up failing institutions. First, you're going to have to take them into public control, and then perhaps you could break them up into smaller public banks. Or we could run them for specific purposes, like financing the green transition. I mean, just today, the UN report on climate change was put out, and it suggests that we only have 12 years left to act decisively on climate change. So that suggests that we really need to focus all of our efforts, especially in the financial sector, on things like climate change and green energy transition.
Right. Now, given the massive power that the big banks have, what really is the likelihood of anything happening at the federal level in terms of changing legislation?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a plan for now, obviously. I mean, you wouldn't think that a plan for public ownership of banks would get through Republican control of Congress and then Republican control of the presidency. But as I said, I think this is more of a plan for the future. We need to have a plan ready so that when there is a financial crisis, there's an alternative put on the table, an alternative that's not been written by the banks just as a handout for them. So on the one hand, I think definitely pessimistic with regards to immediate prospects, but optimistic for the long term. I think you mentioned that the public hated the bank bailouts. I mean, there's been polling consistently since the financial crisis last time that they would much rather have considered public ownership than they would have considered to bail out the banks.
So it seems like increasing public ownership of banking is somewhat realistic or an attainable goal in the near future. Beyond banking, how can we reverse the trend of privatization and articulate an alternative vision of ownership for the common good? And you have ideas about this that you outline in your book, Our Common Wealth.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually a good tie-in there to public banking, because on the one hand, we do want to prepare for the next financial crisis. On the other hand, there is a robust and vibrant movement going on in the United States at the local and state level for public banking. So it's sort of two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, we need to organize at the federal level to try and do something different next time there's a crisis. But on the other hand, we do need to be setting up local public banks, state banks. There's an effort on the ballot, I think, in November in Los Angeles to have a city-run public bank. There's efforts in Oakland and Pennsylvania, different places as well. And this really goes into, I think, a movement that's developing here in the United States and around the world in favor of public ownership and rejecting the failed approaches of privatization in the past. I mean, in Europe, you have a whole very, very robust remunicipalization movement in the energy sector, water, different types of services that have failed in privatization, and people are trying to bring them back in-house. And we have that here in the United States as well. As I said, public banking is one area, but municipal broadband is another area. Repealing the water privatization that started to tick up in the 1990s and early 2000s. That's a big area. We're actually seeing a decrease of water privatizations and these things being taken back into public control. Baltimore, I think they have a ballot referendum on for November as well, which would become the first city in the United States to ban water privatizations as part of an amendment to their city charter.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of remunicipalization or municipal activism really provides a model around the country for taking more control over these critical institutions, developing more for the common good rather than private interests. So you also provide specific examples of more genuine democratic participation and control. So it's not just a matter of transitioning ownership from the hands of the few to some kind of public institution that also becomes somewhat stilted and doesn't offer much democratic participation in running those institutions. You have some ideas about how that could change as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think the thesis of the book, there are three main points I try to get across in the book. The first is that public ownership in the United States is much more prevalent and resilient than most people think. And it's expanding, as we just mentioned, in certain areas as people around the world reject these failed privatization approaches. The second is that contrary to what we've been led to believe during the neoliberal period over the past 40 years, there's actually no consensus in the academic literature, the theoretical and empirical studies about whether public or private ownership is actually more efficient. So I have plenty of studies. I have dozens and dozens of studies of different sectors all over the world and different time periods where you have these academics, people going in to study these things, and they say, well, to my surprise, the public-owned utility or the public enterprise is actually as efficient or more efficient than the private one. So, and then the third one is, as you mentioned, simply returning to the top-down managerial forms of public ownership that were dominant in the 20th century is not sufficient from the perspective of seeking a more equitable, democratic, sustainable economic system. What we need is internal democratization of these enterprises as well. And there are many different ways to think about internal democratization. So one of these is to have more accountability, to have more transparency. These are things that are kind of shared by more liberal or centrist beliefs around public ownership. But what we're saying here is we don't want to just have these arm's length corporations that are totally isolated from democratic control. What we want is more accountability, more transparency, and much more robust, genuine democratic participation internally. So this is more opportunity for workers, more opportunity for consumers, more opportunity for residents to participate in the decision-making of these enterprises, and then convert as well to participate in a much more macro sense in terms of the economy, how to direct these enterprises to participate together or to coordinate together to have much more control, democratic control over the whole economy and where we're going as a society.
And there's some specific examples of this kind of democratic control with electrical systems now in Richmond, California and Boulder, Colorado, right? Well, Thomas Hanna, thank you so much for joining us today. Thomas Hanna from the Democracy Collaborative, and we'll encourage listeners to take a look at his book, Our Commonwealth, The Return of Public Ownership in the United States. And also you can download his report, The Crisis Next Time, Planning for Public Ownership as an Alternative to Corporate Bank Bailouts, available on the Democracy Collaborative website. Thanks again, Thomas Hanna.
Thank you so much.